4 hours ago. It was a little difficult to concentrate between 4:30 and 4:50 as a 6-1 lead for Canada over Austria was vanishing and completely evaporated. So we went live to the final 3 minutes and the overtime with Gord Miller and Mike Johnson in Prague.
If Austria wins this game, it's the biggest comeback in the history of the World Championship. Tavares in, shoot, scores, and Canada wins it. 15 seconds in overtime, John Tavares takes care of business, and Canada wins it by a final score of 7-6.
Impeccable timing. Gord Miller, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you very much. Just that was bizarre. Not quite history, as you pointed out, but almost. And
well, it's still the biggest comeback in the history of the IHF.
Oh, it is the biggest comeback in the history.
Yeah, so no one ever erased a 5-goal deficit before.
And judging by what I saw on your social media feed, it was like Austria won.
It was, you know, it was amazing. And that's the best thing about this tournament, right? I mean, Austrian fans come here, British fans come here, you know, Danish fans, Norwegian fans, they don't think their team's going to win a gold medal. They live for moments like that. And they live for the games against each other, and they come here to celebrate the game. There's about, I guess about 36 Canadians are coming over this year as part of a tour group to come to the World Championship, and I think they'll have a ball. It's so different than what we're used to, and Mike Johnson talked about it, just the atmosphere in the arena during the games, and it's just fabulous.
So, Gord, just before that call, I said to John, why is John Tavares starting overtime?
Because he's a really good NHL player.
Yeah, I know he's a good, but he's, you know, like with all that ice and he's slow and, you know, that's obviously, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's an NHL ice surface. So, it's basically the same as the NHL. So, you know, it's funny how people get about players. Like, John Tavares is a really good NHL player. Mitch Marner's a really good NHL player. But because Toronto lost the first round, people think they're no good. They're better than most of the players other teams have.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't slamming Tavares. For overtime, it's not a guy that I would necessarily put on the ice first, you know.
But he's been a productive NHL player in overtime, even this year.
Okay. Clearly, I was wrong. It took 15 seconds.
It's just funny how people's perceptions of players are, you know, and I go back to a comment I made you before. Like, everyone who plays in the NHL is a really good player. And was an elite player at some point, and the top end guys are really, really good.
Yeah, except some of them had trouble scoring in Game 7.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make them bad players.
No,
I guess that's the point.
Has there been a Canadian player that maybe so far that you've seen in this tournament, your perspective has changed on them in some way or another?
A Canadian player surprised me.
Or, I mean, I don't want to go disappointed, but just maybe you wanted to see more from, just, you know, compared to what your expectations were going into the tournament, what you've seen from either an individual player or maybe them collectively so far.
Well, it's only, you know, a handful of games. It's hard to say anything yet. I think the guy you'd like to see more is Olin Zellweger, who's been really productive in very limited time for Canada. No, I think, you know, I mean, I can't think of anyone offhand. I mean, it's early yet, right? They've played 3 games. It's hard to say who would be disappointing.
I know what we saw was a kind of a real tough turnover by Caden Gooley. But as Mike Johnson pointed out when he jumped on, he was actually the player of the game.
Yeah, the Canadian coaching staff names the players of the game. Now, Gooley's a young guy. And the funny thing is, you know, what happens with a lot of players when they come here from the NHL is, you know, you think you're going to, I'm not saying Gooley did this, but a lot of guys do. They think they're going to dominate the tournament. Well, guess what? These other guys play pro hockey too. Not at the same level as the NHL, but they're pros too. And it's just as hard sometimes, you know, when you're playing against a really cohesive group of people to play well. And you know, you got to keep that in mind all the time. Respect for the opponent is a big thing here.
Slovakia just finished up beating Poland. Tomas Tatar with a 3-point night, and Juraj Slafkovský with another point. Your general impressions from Slafkovský's point of view, and anything else that has caught your eye through the first week of the tournament?
I think the Swiss are really good. They've got a really good team, a core of guys that have played for the national team for a long time, plus a bunch of NHLers. And I think, you know, Slavkovsky's been good here. It's going to be interesting. So coming up in August, there are three Olympic qualification tournaments. Slovakia is hosting one of them. Denmark's hosting another, and Latvia's hosting the third. So that's huge for those countries. Those Olympic qualification tournaments are enormous. And they're going to want their NHL guys to play. But it's a lot to ask. So, for example, Austria's going to want Reinbacher, right? So he's going to start, if he plays in that tournament, it goes from, you go to training camp probably second week of August. The tournament starts the last week of August. You play in that for like, I think it's 8-9 days. Then you go right to NHL training camp, then into a season wherever he plays. That makes a long year already longer. Will Montreal let Slavkovsky go? He'll want to play because the incentive is even greater, because if Slovakia wins it, he can play in the Olympics.
Wait, Slovakia still has to play despite winning the gold medal?
Slovakia didn't win a gold medal.
At the last Olympics, did they not?
They won a bronze.
Oh, the bronze. Even then.
They won a bronze. They're ranked ninth. So normally the top nine get in, but because Italy is in, automatically as the host team, only eight get in, and Slovakia is ranked ninth in the IHF rankings.
What was the mood like today, Gord, with, you know, I know you're not in Ostrava at the moment, but we were speaking to Mike on Monday, and he said how close it is to the Slovak border. And what happened today with the Slovak prime minister, and then that game kind of going on at the same time that all this kind of madness is happening around Slovakia?
So what wasn't clear was, you know, A, the health of the Slovak prime minister, but what if he had died? What would have happened? Would Slovakia not have played the game? One of the things that you talk about is, you know, some acknowledgement. So there probably would have been a moment of silence before the game, but the IHF, like most international sports bodies, does not permit any sort of displays on uniforms or equipment. So like a helmet decal or a black armband of the jersey is not permitted. And would Slovakia keep playing? That's been an open question. I mean, you know, my understanding is, the latest I heard tonight is that, you know, the prime minister is in serious condition. But it has to be difficult for them. And look, we're right next door to Slovakia here. And the political climate here is very different than it is in North America. Ukraine may be more of an academic discussion in Canada and the United States. It's not here. They're right next to it.
Yeah, for those who aren't aware what John and Gord are talking about, there was he was shot multiple times, an assassination attempt on the Prime Minister of Slovakia, and he's in trouble health-wise. I mean, it's touch and go right now.
Right. So, but the Slovaks played tonight. But again, it's got to be very difficult. I recall when Czechia and Slovakia split, it was during the 93 World Junior, I think, in Sweden. So the players went to bed on New Year's Eve as Czechoslovakia and woke up the next day as the Czechs and Slovaks. They were in two different countries.
My goodness.
Now, they finished the tournament as the Czechs and Slovaks, but the next year, Slovakia went down to the C pool in the World Championship, and the World Junior had to earn their way back up. Political upheaval is more common to European countries than it is to us, and especially in Eastern Europe. But, you know, the stories about, you know, the old Soviet Union, like when Hungary played the Soviets in water polo in 1956 in the Melbourne Olympics, like the pool was red with blood because the Soviets had just put down a revolution in Hungary. The Hungarian players had, like, thumbtacks taped to their thumbs, and they were scratching each other and punching, and guys were coming out of the pool bleeding. Like, it's a very different climate here than we might be used to in North America.
Yeah, for me as a child, but as a hockey junkie already, 68, it was the invasion, right? Russia,
yeah,
and Czechoslovakia, and they met on the ice. And to me, that stands out. From that point on, for decades after, it was incredibly meaningful, those matchups.
And even more recently, you know, Latvian goaltender Artur Zirbe longtime NHLer, led a protest march in Latvia against the Soviets, which put his safety and the safety of his family very much in jeopardy. Peter Prisa, who is the head of the organizing committee here at the World Championship, was a goalie for Sparta Prague when they had their, you know, beginning of the Velvet Revolution here in the late 1980s. He spoke to a gathering of 750,000 people, and again, you know, put his and his family's safety in jeopardy. So it's a very, I mean, you don't have to go very far back in the history books, and there's lots of people living here who remember what it was like in Soviet times and remember how difficult it was. And their feelings and their passions are quite different than ours might be.
Independent of sport, Gord, do you feel that tenseness just being in and around Prague and just that part of the world right now?
Well, I think there's more tension. There was today. There was more security today after that news came out. And the Czech prime minister was supposed to come to the Czechia game this afternoon. He did not come. So I would say they are far more in tune with what's happening in Ukraine, basically because most people here know people in Ukraine, and most people here know what Russia's all about. And they are facing a tide of Russian misinformation here that they're trying to push back, and we in North America aren't as much. And a lot of that misinformation is kind of swamping us here, or in North America, but here they're well aware of it. And support for Ukraine is quite passionate here and quite visible. There's lots of Ukrainian flags in windows. There's Ukrainian stickers on cars. I mean, you won't find many people here that would say, yeah, I don't think Ukraine should fight back. I mean, they know they could be next here. And their president made that. I sat with their president on Monday at the Czechia game, and he made that very clear.
Well, we know who Aaron Rodgers is cheering for.
Yeah. Whatever. You know, guys like him, I guess, just play football. I don't, you know, like, it's just, it's amazing how a guy, he went to Cal, right?
I think the
How could he believe the thing? I don't know how any rational person can think some of the things he thinks. Like, I don't know how a rational person who went to college, is, you know, been surrounded by educated people, can believe and say some of the just outrageously incorrect things he says.
Referencing an interview with Tucker Carlson this week. Okay, let's ramp up the joyfulness before we say goodbye to Gord Miller. The goalie situation in the Vancouver Edmonton series, we talked about. it's phenomenal. You can't even invent this. So a third string goalie that you guys covered and won a bronze medal for Latvia. He's become one of these stories in the playoffs. And here comes 32-year-old Calvin Pickard, who's never started an NHL playoff game in his career. And he backstops Edmonton to an improbable blown lead minute later, scoring the game winner. It's just phenomenal.
Improbable? The whole thing is just amazing. And, you know, you've got, I mean, I'm thousands of miles away just watching it from a distance. It just, I mean, you've got two of the most passionate and sometimes acerbic fan bases going. You've got members of local media who, like, openly cheerlead for their team. Like, just, like, they're like the guy in Slapshot who says, I want to go down there and fight them. And then you've got these goalies. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, Seelov's talked about earlier in the playoffs, talking about how playing in the World Championship prepared him for this. But what can he prepare you for this? I mean, playing against Connor McDavid, you know, some of the best players in the world in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but he's been good, and Pickard was great. And Cal Pickard's amazing because the one thing about him is, given his experience in hockey, I think he's been through waivers like 10 times. I seem to think that in the COVID year, he went up and down through waivers a whole bunch of times. So things probably don't bother him as much. Like, Cal's not playing for his future. He's not worried about his job or anything. He's just playing, man. He's doing the same thing he's always done. He's just playing. And good for him. I think those stories are great.
Canada-Norway coverage underway at 2 o'clock TSN tomorrow. Andy's got one for you.
I was just wondering, when you were preparing for this tournament and you were looking at that Polish goalie's name, did you think that maybe there was a pronunciation there that you might want to check on, or did you already know?
Well, here's the thing. We do get a recording, but they're in the other pool. Poland not likely to cross over to the quarterfinals, so the odds of me seeing him are low, but we do have a recording just in case.
What's his name, Andy?
I would rather Gord say it since he's at the recording.
I don't have it in front of me, so I...
It's Fuchik, I believe, is how you pronounce it.
I think we'll have to text Dan and find out how he did with that.
You have to be very careful with it.
When I saw it at a glance on the jersey, it just looked like F-U-C-K. Yeah. I was like, oh my.
Like that word.
Okay.
What are you, Country Joe McDonald?
And then never again.
Country Joe at Woodstock. Thank you, Gord, as always. Greatly appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk on Wednesday.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. All right, you want to tee up the match you're going to call for us?
Salutations. Yes, CF Montreal versus the Columbus Crew. Hasn't been great for really both of these sides. It's been a couple of weeks now for Columbus that they haven't got a win in the league. And CF Montreal have only won one of their last nine MLS matches. And so this is a big one. And CF Montreal are going through a very, very big part of their season schedule, and not only that, they're dealing with a lot of injuries, so they are in tough against the Crew tonight.
And hopefully no hangover from Messi and Suarez and Inter Miami on Saturday.
I'll ask President Gabriel Gervais. It seemed like he was enjoying a couple too many beers after
I was talking about you.
Oh.